are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves, and happy Friday, everybody. We're at the end of another Wolves week with only one game this weekend. Saturday night's showdown against the Phoenix Suns, or actually Saturday afternoon, to be more accurate, with an early tip on that one. Today's show will serve as your all-encompassing preview for Wolves Suns on Saturday afternoon. We're going to spend the show talking about the matchup and what to expect. The Wolves, of course, last played on Wednesday when they lost to the Jazz at home by 8. The Suns played on Thursday last night and lost their third game in a row, losing to the Pelicans by 3 in a game that Brandon Ingram took over late. The Suns were without a pair of starters in that game. Aaron Baines sat out with a hip flexor issue. Ricky Rubio was a late scratch due to back spasms. Of course, if either of those guys were to not be available on Saturday, or both, of course, at Target Center, that would make the Wolves' job a lot easier in taking on the 7-7 Suns. I guess to finish off the injury report, the Wolves are not going to have Jake Lehman available due to his sprained toe. He's already been listed as out for Saturday, and Shabazz Napier is listed as questionable with his hamstring issue, but there hasn't really been much buzz that he's likely to play, and it would seem likely that the Wolves give him another couple days off. So those are I guess the quick look at the injuries for Saturday. The Suns so far this season have had a really strong start overall. I don't think anybody expected much of them. They were expected to be one of the worst couple of teams in the West. Still probably better than the worst three or four teams in the East. But they started off the season really hot. They were 7-4 until they lost their last three games. And Devin Booker is the biggest reason for that. He's transformed himself into an actual star. I think he was a high volume guy, better than Andrew Wiggins from an efficiency standpoint and worse than him on defense, but offensively was more effective and a better shooter than Andrew Wiggins. But there's a lot of similarities there in terms of what the actual on-court impact had been for Booker, but he's been legitimately good this year. He's a big part of that has had to do with the change in system with Monty Williams as at head coach. It's the first accomplished head coach with a track record of having successful offensive teams that Booker has really played for. And then adding Ricky Rubio as a point guard, the team really didn't have a true point guard the last few years. And if you look at Booker's numbers so far this season, all of his rate-based statistics, you can see that he has the ball in his hands less overall, even though he's scoring more efficiently. So his assist rate is down 5 points, which is fairly significant. After spending last year handling the ball and running the offense most of the time, his usage rate is actually down as well, almost 5 points. And he's being forced to make less decisions with the ball in his hands. When he's getting the ball, he's either able to shoot or drive instead of having to worry too much about facilitating for his teammates. He's shooting the ball at a crazy and unsustainable clip from outside the arc, 48.6% so far this year on almost 7 attempts per game, which is actually less attempts. It would be about in line with his rookie year, his least amount of 3-point attempts per game, but he's shooting them at by far a career best. And while that's not sustainable, that's a really good start to the year for him. He's getting the free throw line a little bit less as well, but that's just part of him having the ball slightly less in the offense, but yet scoring at a much more impressive clip. And his actual per game scoring average is only down about 1.5, despite shooting the ball 3 less times a game, shooting 1.5 threes less per game, and shooting less free throws per game too. So again, just being more efficient with his opportunities, playing within the offense. Of course, all that falls apart a little bit if Rubio's not on the floor, which he wasn't against the Pelicans. The Suns were forced to rely on a backcourt of Booker and Tyler Johnson, which inevitably meant that Booker had the ball in his hands a lot more. And it was actually only the second game of the season that Booker didn't crack 20 points. He finished with 19 points and 7 assists with 6 turnovers in the game against the Pels. So clearly the Suns are going to want to have Ricky Rubio back for this game. Rubio's actually already missed 3 games this year for various reasons. This last time was due to back spasms. And he is, again, listed as day-to-day. So recording this on Friday morning, don't have a handle on whether or not he's going to be available on Saturday. for the game. But at the moment, Rubio's day to day. Another big part of the early hot start is Aaron Baines, and he's also listed as day to day. Baines has always been a solid rotation player. He had, you know, those strong years, the strong stretch of his career with the Boston Celtics. But he's never been a guy that averages more than 16 to 18 minutes a game. He's always been kind of a backup center or a starter who wasn't necessarily on the floor during crunch time. But this year he's averaging 24 minutes a game, which is by far a career high. And all of his other numbers, of course, are up as well. He's averaging 14.5 points a game coming into this season. For his career, Baines was only averaging 5.4 points per game. He's shooting threes now. He had never shot more than one three a game on average. He's shooting over four a game now and shooting them at a 44% clip. And, you know, he's rebounding the ball. His rebound rate's going to be down a little bit just for his extended minutes and also spending a bit more time on the perimeter than he did in Boston's system. But all that to say, Baines has been a revelation. He's 33 years old. It's unlikely he's having a true breakout, and it does seem like perhaps the extra heavy minutes load may already be catching up to him. We don't know for sure yet, again, whether or not he'll be available on Saturday. It's not like it's an injury. It's a hip flexor issue, and he's missed two games in a row now. Although the first one of those was the second half of a back-to-back, so they might have just been wanting to be careful with him. But not having Baines would be huge as well, because it really eats into the Suns' depth. Their hot start has been despite DeAndre Ayton, last year's first pick, not playing since opening night. He was suspended by the league for a PED violation and only played an opening night, and that's it. And that's meant that Aaron Baines has had an extended role. Frank Kaminsky's the backup center, and he's a solid player. But suddenly you take Baines off the floor, and this team's forced to start Kaminsky at the five, essentially, and there really isn't a backup big man. And then your only true big men on the court for this team are Frank Kaminsky and Dario Saric, another former Timberwolf, of course. So if there's no Baines, no Rubio, the Wolves should be a heavy, heavy favorite in this game. If one or both of these guys play, these teams are much closer to even. I guess a quick note on their schedule so far this season has been exceedingly easy. They've played 10 of their 14 games at home already. They've only played four road games to this point, and they've only won two of those road games, one coming against Golden State, who at this point is the worst team in the league and probably will be. And then the other one was at Memphis, who also isn't a very good team, but of course Memphis did beat the Timberwolves. But other than that, this has been a run at home for the Suns. And despite all of it, they've lost their last three and now sit at just 7-7. They have a solid point differential. It's better than the Timberwolves. So that says something, but I think the schedule says a little bit more so far. They have a couple of impressive wins at home. They beat the Clippers back in the third game of the season, and they beat the 76ers as well, but they haven't really beat any other likely playoff teams at this point in the season. So the 7-7 is good. And I think if you told Suns fans that through 14 games, they'd be 7-7, they'd feel okay about it. But the injury concerns, Ayton suspension, and now the schedule being road heavy really for the rest of the year are likely going to slow them down a little bit. All right. Next up, we're going to talk a little bit about the matchup itself and what to expect and what we can expect to see from the Wolves in this game. But first, wanted to talk once again about MyBookie. Attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You've got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congratulations to you as well. MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally can't lose. It's no risk and all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer, MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but still have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA. And MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let's repeat that. That's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you don't want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. The Timberwolves are coming off of a frustrating loss on Wednesday against Utah, in which they played really well enough to win. They just struggled to get Karl Anthony Towns involved in the offense and simply just didn't knock down open shots or shots at the rim well enough, which of course are the two types of shots they're trying to get, are open three-pointers and shots at the rim. The Jazz did a good job of limiting the Wolves' open shots to only guys who are shooting below league average from beyond the arc, and those guys continued to do just that and not really contribute positively. The Wolves also struggled at the rim with Jeff Teague. Andrew Wiggins was great at the rim when he got there, but was 1 of 10 from beyond the arc. So that really it was just a credit to the Jazz and a case where if the Wolves were able to knock down open threes, either the Jazz would have had to play them differently or the Wolves would have won the game because they made their open shots. So encouraging in that the Wolves actually played well, but discouraging in that it continued to validate our worst fears about this team is that there just aren't enough shooters outside of Karl Anthony Towns and Robert Covington. And we've talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast. There are not enough shooters on the floor for the Timberwolves, and teams are just going to keep leaving guys like Trevion Graham and Josh Okogie. And even in some cases, I mean, Andrew Wiggins isn't somebody you necessarily want to leave open, but you'd rather leave him open than Towns or Covington. But there's just a series of guys that teams are going to be willing to give up three-pointers to. Trevion Graham is the most obvious culprit, but Josh Okogie, because he's been a little bit more dynamic offensively and he's more exciting, maybe people forget that he shoots 21% from outside the arc. And then Jeff Teague is sliding back into his hesitation when he gets the ball on the perimeter. He turned down a couple of open looks at threes, and he'd been shooting them okay early in the season. And without Jake Lehman on the floor, it takes away another wing player. But especially it takes away another guy who can shoot threes at a league average clip. He'd improved quite a bit recently and was shooting the ball really well. He had a season high 21 in his last fully healthy game last Saturday in the loss to Houston, and had gotten his 3-point percentage up over 35%, was averaging over 10 points a game. Thankfully, his sprained toe doesn't sound like it's a long-term injury, but they're going to keep him off the floor for a few games here to try and get him healed up. So that you take Lehman out of the equation, and that leaves you with Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie, and Trevion Graham as all poor three-point shooters that are going to have plenty of opportunities. Keelan Martin so far is shooting just 21%, but he is the one exception to this rule. And perhaps even Jalen Nowell, who's in the G League right now, this year's second-round pick, and has only played in one game with the Wolves so far this year. I haven't looked to see how he's shooting the ball in the G League, but theoretically, both he and Keelan Martin could be three-point shooting options for the Wolves. The problem is that they're both steps backwards defensively from those other three guys, and especially from Okogie. And Graham's been solid on defense too. So it's a, what are you going to go with, the defense or the shooting? They don't have anyone besides Robert Covington and to a lesser extent, Andrew Wiggins, that can provide both of those things. I say all that to set up the Wolves Suns matchup, because the Wolves are who we thought they were, and that they're going to shoot a ton of threes and struggle from outside the arc. The Suns are in that they're also shooting a ton of threes, but they're making their shots this year from outside the arc. A huge part of this is Devin Booker shooting the ball out of his mind. But as a team, the Suns are 37.8% from beyond the arc. That's sixth best in the league from three-point range for a team. And Devin Booker's 48.6% is a huge part of that. Aaron Baines at 44.2%, shooting over four a game after never shooting more than about a three a game in his career. He used to not shoot him at all until last year with Boston. And granted, Baines may be out. Cam Johnson is shooting almost 43% from beyond the arc, and he shoots the second most threes on the team. Dario Saric at 37.7% is a little better than how he shot it with the Wolves. Tyler Johnson, 35%. I mean, even Ricky Rubio is at 34%. That means they've got seven rotation players who are all shooting the ball at over league average. Kelly Oubre is the only rotation player that launches, I guess Frank Kaminsky as well. They both shoot a fair amount of threes that are below league average. Contrast that to the Wolves, and with Lehman out, they've only got Covington and Towns shooting above that mark, with Wiggins kind of hovering right around league average in that 1 for 10 game, you know, tanking that percentage. So if this is a battle of three-pointers, the Wolves are going to need to get hot to win. The Suns also play at a quick pace. The Wolves are fourth in pace. The Suns are eighth in pace. I'd imagine that changes a little bit with Rubio. If Rubio were to not be available, I would think that perhaps that they play at a little bit of a slower pace. Last year, they finished 12th in pace with Devin Booker leading the offense most of the time for that team. So that would kind of be my assumption, is that they may play a little bit slower. If you look at the game against the Pelicans on Thursday, which both Rubio and Baynes missed, that game, they were essentially rudderless on offense, and Booker again had 6 turnovers when he was being forced to do more than he had been so far this season. He certainly isn't in point guard mode at this point. And so I think that certainly hurt them. So that's kind of the blueprint, I guess, to beating this team. It becomes a lot easier if they're missing those two guys, because then you're forcing other people to be more involved. Kelly Oubre is not an ultra efficient player, and he had to shoot 17 times in this game. Tyler Johnson has struggled so far this year, the former Heat wing player, former Heat guard. Dario Saric has been pretty up and down for the team. All those guys have to do more. And then the bench becomes overextended as well if Baynes and or Rubio are out. So again, that'll be key. And then also, generally speaking, guarding Devin Booker is going to be similar to guarding Donovan Mitchell, although Booker's a much better perimeter shooter and would much rather shoot the ball from three, even more so than Donovan Mitchell. So that will be a little bit of a different challenge, but expect the Wolves to rotate through mostly Okogie and Graham guarding Booker and keeping Robert Covington in a situation where he can be involved on switches and can be involved as a team defender. But the times when Covington was matched up against Mitchell 1-on-1 in the game on Wednesday, were fine. But at this point, it doesn't look like he's back enough from his knee surgery to move laterally quick enough to guard the league's best offensive players 1-on-1. But he's still an outstanding team defender. So the Wolves' best defense this year so far has been with Okogie and Covington on the floor. Okogie as the on-ball defender for the highest usage offensive guard on the other team, with Covington on essentially the next best player or maybe the best perimeter shooter, and then being involved in switches, kind of hanging back, in some senses just being ready to be a free safety and pick the ball off or strip the ball from an offensive player driving to the rim. And the Wolves will need to deploy that strategy against the Suns, although they'll also need to be very wary of this team from outside the arc. The Jazz really only had Bojan Bogdanović and Donovan Mitchell and, to a lesser extent, Joe Ingles as solid three-point shooters, and the Suns have more of that, more shooting. So the Wolves will need to be careful with that for sure. All right, before our last segment, wanted to talk briefly about Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. If you're listening on the go and can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. That's lockedonpodcast.com/offers. You'll find all of our Locked On sponsors there and can find some outstanding deals. All right, in our final segment, we're going to talk about what to expect from this game and I guess my prediction for this game. Again, we're still a day out, so we don't really know exactly what we're going to see in terms of the injury report. But this feels like a game that the Wolves should be able to win regardless after having a couple of days off. They'll have an extra day off compared to the Suns. And so they should have a real shot at this one. They're going to be favored. I haven't seen the actual line yet since we're still a day out, but the Wolves will be favored in this game. Again, pending some of the injury stuff. I'm going to say that in a high scoring game, the Wolves end up winning this game by, let's call it 7. I'm thinking Towns will have a monster performance in this one. Even if Aaron Baynes plays, he's the type of player that Towns should be able to beat fairly easily on the glass, and is a more effective stretch five than Aaron Baynes, obviously. Towns has done well against Frank Kaminsky in the past. So this feels like a big Towns game, trying to atone for his 14-12 that he had on Wednesday and the Wolves lost to the Jazz. It'd be really good to see Wiggins get going. I guess the other motivation for Towns would be going against his buddy and fellow former Kentucky Wildcat and Devin Booker. The much publicized article with Towns, Booker, and D'Angelo Russell, where they all said they wanted to play together. Especially with the Suns playing well, it doesn't seem like Booker's going anywhere anytime soon. But Towns seems like the kind of guy who's going to be motivated by that matchup. And perhaps Andrew Wiggins will be too. A little KU-Kentucky matchup there. And it'd be good to see Wiggins. I mean, Wiggins played well on Wednesday despite his 1-for-10 from beyond the arc, but it'll be good to see him have a solid game again as well. So my prediction is Wolves by 7. Perhaps that's a little aggressive. I'm sure the line won't be quite that high, but that's what we're going to go with. Looking ahead at the Timberwolves schedule for the next few days, after having this series of games at home, it would have been nice for the Wolves to capitalize a little bit more on them. Ultimately here they've played, if you include the game against Phoenix, they're going to play 5 of their last 6, including the game against Phoenix at home. And to this point in those home games, they're 2-3. That's not right. They're 1-3 actually. They won on the road at Utah. So they're 1-3 at home in their last four home games. They have the home game against Phoenix on Saturday. Then they don't play again until Monday. And at that point, 6 of their next 7 will be on the road. There's some winnable ones in there. They have at Atlanta and at San Antonio, which won't be easy, but they're both winnable games. And then they come home for Memphis for a 1-game homestand before going at Dallas, at Oklahoma City, at the Lakers, and at Phoenix. So a lot of teams that are actually kind of in that middle of the pack, you know, take out the Lakers and basically everybody else is kind of a 500-ish team, give or take, and is kind of looking to break through. Dallas is extremely dynamic with Luka Doncic, and San Antonio has been struggling quite a bit. Atlanta is dynamic with Trae Young, but still kind of a middle of the pack type team. And Oklahoma City's maybe been a little bit better than people expected. So it's not an easy stretch, but it's also a stretch where if the Wolves were to get hot, they could actually do quite well with that rundown of teams. So interesting schedule coming up. It'd be really important to get this win against the Suns on Saturday before they get into that stretch. As it stands right now, the Wolves are sitting 8th in the league in the standings. They're a half game ahead of Phoenix. They've played one more game, and a full game ahead of Sacramento, and a game and a half behind Utah for the 5th spot. Utah and Dallas actually are tied. Again, an important conference game against a team that's likely going to be fighting for one of the last playoff spots against the Wolves. So we'll see how that all plays out. We'll be back on Monday morning with a look at this game. Remember, it's the only game this weekend. No game Friday night. 4 o'clock tip, early tip on Saturday for the Suns. I'm not sure why that is, but 4 o'clock tip on Saturday, so don't let that surprise you. We'll be back Monday morning to recap that game and look ahead at the week. That will feature a number of road games for the Timberwolves as we kick off that stretch of 5-6 road games and 7 games, I guess, 6 out of 7 road games. So that'll be the focus of Monday morning's show. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thank you once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. And we'll catch you next time.